Hi, welcome to Soul Revolution. We believe that you are the change wherever you are. If you like to know more about us, who we are and what we do, find us on Facebook as Soul Revolution. We are so thrilled to share this message with you today.
Does anyone knows what a chameleon is? Okay, so it's known for its survival instincts. Its capacity to adapt is mind-blowing. Something about the chameleon that always intrigues me. It just fits into a safe surrounding in order to survive, and it will also take on the identity of whatever is around it, so much so that you can't even make it out. And it may be the best example for adaptability and survival, but it's the most pathetic example for identity, okay? You're not a chameleon. Okay, do you know why you're not a chameleon? You said it, but do you know why you said it? The simple reason is because you're not here to survive. You're not here to exist in fear. You're here to live a life of purpose. You're here to persist in that purpose. Because it's not survival that drives a child of God. It's purpose that causes a child of God to know who they are and to live their lives purposefully. At SOAR, we have been on a series called True Hearted, Ask Me About Being Faithful. Last week, we looked at The One Who Never Ever, and it talks about God and how He is so faithful. And this evening, we are going to look at I Am. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull out your cell phone or pen, paper, somewhere you can write, okay? And in school we used to do this. In school we used to do this. Whenever you were given a test, you would always have these questions which say, complete the following sentence. So we are going to complete a sentence. And what I want you to do is, I want you to write down these two words, I am, okay? We are going to take time to fill that up. I am, and fill that up. Okay. Here are some of the probable things that you would have written down. Some of you would have written your name. Some of you would have written your age. Some of you would have written your gender. Some of you would have written your parents' names. Some of you would have written your hobbies, your jobs, what you do. But I have one question for you this evening, and you're going to just answer by a show of hands. Whatever you have written on your phone, on your paper about yourself, does that define you to the bestest, if there was a word like that, does that define you to the bestest you could define yourself? Is that the bestest you could define yourself? And here are a couple of observations I am beginning to make about your answers. These answers define only a part of you, okay? If given another chance to write, or if you were given more time to write, you would write something different. Most of these answers are what people have taught you you are, or have told you you are, and you believe that. This evening, what we want to do is discover a deeper side of who we are, discover a deeper side of our identity that we may know or we may be totally unaware of. And we already read the passage from Psalm 139. We're going to read from 15 to the end, okay? My frame was not hidden from you when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me. You are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, it's so important that we complete that sentence. And I'll tell you why. Because the world in which we live in, makes an attempt every single moment to define who you are so that you can fit their benefit. Let me give you a couple of examples. Companies will develop brands and campaigns that want to make you feel unsatisfied with who you are so you can buy their stuff and make them happy, give them some more money. Peers or friends around you will try and define how you should look and behave so that you live up to their level of coolness so that they don't feel embarrassed. If you're in a relationship, it's evident that you better match your partner's definition of what you should look like, regardless of the fact of whether you are being yourself or not. And before we realize it, we allow who we are. We allow our identity to be like flexible slime, fitting into whatever the mold requires us to be. Friends, this evening, our identity is at stake, whether you realize it or not. And we are struggling every single moment to be true to our identity. Our identity is depleting, and we don't know what to do about it. But we need to stand for something. Because this evening, if we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. Okay? We don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. This evening, I'm going to complete those sentences for us, taking promises and truths from God's word, from Psalm 139. Are you ready for this? Okay, here we go. Here's the first one. I am created by God. You know, this is the first truth about our lives that we forget so often. You are not a simple collaboration of atoms being subject to the forces of nature, held together in place by the law of gravity. Okay? The minute you and I reduce ourselves to a scientific definition, we become a biological product. And with all production, there is waste. And with that, we ourselves give credibility to the existence of biological waste. And it is this very thought that causes people like Philip Budikin, the mastermind behind the Blue Whale Game Challenge, to take on the responsibility of cleansing the society of biological waste. You look at examples all around the world. The genocide of the ethnic cleansing of the Jews by the Nazis. Then we have the killing of the Rohingya Muslims, which is happening right now in Myanmar. The atrocities against the Dalits in our very own country. And that's what happens when we forget to recognize the fact that we are created by God. I am created by God. And then the songwriter says in verse 13 and 15, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." If we read about creation in the book of Genesis, we know that God spoke everything in nature, everything in creation into being. But when the time came to create human beings, He didn't speak. He sculpted. He carved. He got his hands dirty in the mud. And he shaped. And he made you and me. He took effort to knit us together, the Bible says, to who we are today. We aren't just spoken. We are custom made. The lyricist says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." You know what? Knitting is a very difficult process. When I was slightly younger, I was interested in knitting, and so I asked my grandmother to teach me. Do you know it's so tedious because every knot in every line has a purpose. You miss or you mess up one knot, you have to open out the whole thing to just fix that one line. Okay? And when the Bible says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb," it's meaningful because everything about you is so unique. Everything about you is so precious. There is nothing that happens by chance. The Bible says, then after that, after he knit us, it says he breathed his life into us. He breathed his breath into us. And we became living beings, which means that without the breath of God, we don't survive. To survive is to have an identity. Let me explain to you, because after you die, the only thing that is valid about you is your death certificate. Your Aadhaar card ceases to have any function. Your voter's ID, things about you cease to function. Your death certificate is the only proof that you lived once. To live, to survive is to have identity. To have identity is to have God. So in that way, we have the breath of God in us so that we live. We are like the fingerprints of God. That's what the Bible says. We are created in the image of God. I am created by God means a couple of things. It means I am handsome. It means I am beautiful just the way I am. I am created fearfully and wonderfully. I have a purpose. I belong to my Heavenly Father. My identity is not in things, it's in my Creator. And you know what? God never changes. So our identity never changes. We will be like our Father, the God who created us. This evening, I don't know if you have ever been told you are a mistake. If you're tired of just being who you are, if you're hurting because you've been told you don't qualify because you don't look good, you look like crap. I don't know if you've been told that, but nothing can change that foundational truth that you are created by God. Sure, your mom and dad had their part to play to come together so that you were born, but it is God who created you, and you are precious to Him. That is the truth this evening. And the only response that you and I can give is to begin to accept who we are. We accept who we are. We accept who God created us to be. Who I am isn't defined by what I feel. Who I am isn't defined by what people say about me. Because these days, whatever you want to become, you just prefix your feeling with the word trans, and it's just there, you know. It becomes legal. These days you have trans-raced, you have trans-aged, you have trans-abled. Leave alone the stereotypes that were already there before. But this evening we need to begin to accept who we are. Who I am isn't defined by how I feel. Who I am needs to be defined by what the truth is. And we accept that truth from God's word. Say, I am created by God. That is the first truth. The minute I know that first truth, the minute I complete that sentence with that promise from God's word, I am grounded on solid foundation. Because that fact that God created me will never ever change. Because God created me, I can be rest assured that God knows me. And that's the second truth with which we need to complete that sentence. I am known by God. I am known by God doesn't simply mean that God knows an itsy bitsy bit of some data about me. Just my name, just my number, Aadhaar number, just my phone number. But it means that God knows everything and everyone in every capacity possible, and that includes me as well. Let me just reiterate this so you get the weight of this. And when I say I'm known by God, there is a sense of love. Okay? Okay? Do you know why there is a sense of love? Because you will only want to know about someone when you love them. Okay? You know, that's the truth. When you love somebody, you take time to know about them. Okay? And when I say I'm known by God, it means that He loves me. And that also gives me a sense of security, because He knows everything about me and still He chooses to love me. Romans 5:8 says, when I was still sinking deep in my sin, that's when Jesus chose to die for me. You know, I'm secured because I know I will never be alone. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, the Lord will never leave nor forsake me. Okay, I know I am secured because He knows my weakness and I can go to Him when I am in need. The Lord is my fortress. Of whom shall I fear? Psalm 18 verse 2. There is a sense of security. There is a sense of love. But there is also a sense of uniqueness, because I know out of all the millions and billions of people on the face of the planet Earth, God knows me. God sees who I am. He is not general when it comes to dealing with us. He knows each one of us. Because in Luke 12:7 it says, the very hair on our head is numbered. Now that's some intricate detail. Okay, if God knows the hair that is numbered on your head, how much more he knows everything that is happening in your life. And when the songwriter is saying, I am known by God, he writes, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Friends, this evening, can we say like this songwriter, can we say, do we have the assurance to say that? The truth is, this evening, whether you accept it or not, God knows you. Whether you know him or not, it doesn't matter. He still knows you. He still loves you. He knows when you sit and when you rise. He knows your thoughts before you can think them. He knows exactly what your next move is going to be. What was that sentence you were trying to put words together for? He knows your thoughts. He knows those intents. He knows exactly what you're thinking. Sometimes life can bring us to a point where we feel like a nobody. Because nobody bothers, nobody sees, nobody cares. But think again. Think again. The promise we have tells us God knows you. God knows me. God sees you. He sees me. God cares about you. He cares about me. It tells me that God knows our past. God knows the past you are tired of. God knows the past that weighs you down. Every time you want to let go of it, it springs back up and doesn't let you move forward. God knows your past. He knows the past you've been trying to hide. God not just knows your past, he knows your present. God sees how broken you are in it. God sees the challenges you are facing. God sees how bitter you've become. God sees how painful it is. But you know, the beautiful thing is God won't leave you where you are. God's love will restore what you have lost. His love wants to take you to where he wants to be. Because God just doesn't know only your past and your present. God also knows your future this evening. God knows your future and he calls you his son and his daughter. You are not a victim to things that have happened to you. You are his child. You are loved by him. He sees what he is making you into, not what you are. He sees you. He loves you. He calls you by name. And this evening, I sincerely feel in my heart, I can see God removing the pain from your past. I can see God blessing your present. I can see God securing your future. You see, I am created by God. I am known by God. That is my identity that is secured in God. But often we lack the capacity to accept who we are and to accept whose we are. We begin to doubt who we are and whose we are. And I must remain true to my identity. I have to guard it with all my heart. Because there are too many voices around me trying to snatch that away from me. If you will not hold on to who you are, there are many people, there are many circumstances, there is the enemy who wants to rob you of your identity so you can begin to doubt the very purpose for which you exist. You know, these voices come to us. A few weeks ago, we were talking about the voice of truth. We were talking about, you know, how we lose a grip on truth. You see, these voices that we hear are loud and blaring. We hear them on the media. We see them on the billboards. But more importantly, we begin to believe it in our hearts. That's when we need to engrave the third truth by completing the sentence by saying, I am who God says I am. And you know, this truth lays down the basic filter by which I process every voice. I process every thought. I process every trend that is up there. I am who God says I am. we do not let the trends or the fashions of the day define who we are. We allow God to define us, because He is the truth that will never change. The voices I am talking about aren't those steady, loud voices that someone speaks out on a microphone. They are those voices that are so loud in your head, though they don't have a voice to it. They are voices that cause you to believe things subconsciously and make you respond according to who you think you are consciously. And these voices tell me some things. I've got to learn this over time. They keep telling me things. The voices tell me I've got to be like someone else. They tell me I've got to be like someone else because someone else is better than me. Someone else is more happening than me. Someone else is richer than me. Someone else has more swag than me. Someone else has more followers on FB, Twitter, and Insta than me. Someone else has a better figure than me. But did you ever think that someone may be better than me? There may be thousands who are better than me. There may be thousands who are worse than me. But there is only one me. And that me can never be duplicated. And I am who God says I am. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am custom made. I am not a mass product. I will not be a victim to corporate competition and be caught up in buying 1,000 skin toners just to look like Bipasha Basu. Okay? The voices tell me things. The voices tell me I have to look like someone else. The voices tell me I've got to hate others in order to love myself. So first they make me hate myself. Then they tell me in order to love myself, the only way I will ever be able to do that is by looking down on others. A sense of superiority. You see the happenings in Charlottesville and the crimes that I just mentioned a while ago. It's so easy these days, you know. You can just post hate messages on social media. You can troll someone on Twitter. No one will ever know or do anything to you about what you've done. That's where I, as a child of God, need to begin to live out who God says I am. And I need to do what God tells me to do. God tells me to love those people around me. In Mark 12, 31, he says, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. As simple as that. Love the people around you. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how they are. It doesn't matter who they are. You love them. That's the principle. And I've got to show love because God loves me. And so I love others. These voices tell me things, man. They keep telling me. They keep talking to me. These voices tell me that my life is a mistake and nothing better can happen to me. And that's the lies in which we grow in. That's the solution in which we are just marinated day in and day out. We begin to believe that we are a mistake. That's how we live our lives. And everything then, from that point on, becomes a mistake. Because where you started is a mistake. So everything else in relation to that will obviously be a mistake. The friends you make, the people we meet. Do you know why relationships lack stability? It's because of this very fact that we think we are mistakes. I just want to remind you, your life is not a mistake. The very fact that God knows you at the very beginning of your life and takes interest in you means that you have a purpose, not just at the start, but also at the finish. Your life is not a mistake, my dear friends. It's not by chance that you survive. You live for a purpose. This evening, we are who God says we are. I am who God says I am. There's a beautiful song that says, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am.
Thanks again for tuning in for another message from Soul Revolution. You can do us a huge favor by rating, reviewing, and sharing this message with your friends. We would love to hear from you on how this message has touched your life. Feel free to message us on Facebook. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you have a great week ahead.